An opening prayer. Heavenly Father, we know that you are the hope, you are the Lord of our lives. We trust in your guidance, you fill us with encouragement and peace, and we are thankful. Throughout this week, our thoughts often turn to you for direction, for strength, and in quiet confidence, we found the strength that only you can give. We look to you. We believe in your unfailing love. We thank you for being close by to us every day. You are the one who holds the future. Thank you for the plans you have for each one of us as we move forward in life representing you. We feel your presence as you gaze into our transparent souls. You know us well. You know the best way for us to go. On this holy Sabbath afternoon, we look up with steadfast love and trust, and we thank you for your mercy and your love that surrounds us. We praise you for helping us move forward through the power of your Holy Spirit. May the words your Son taught us guide our steps as we worship you in spirit and in truth being. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. There are a lot of activists in our culture promoting one cause or another, especially when the cell phones are recording. Many of their causes weren't even considered when I was growing up. But then America has always been changing since the day it broke away from England in the 16th century. Change in our country and around the world comes with turmoil. And if it tells me anything, it tells me that as followers of Jesus, we should be careful in what we actively support. One characteristic of a believer that should be obvious is that we realize the seriousness of what we're doing. We are followers of Jesus, the one who was a man of sorrows. Like Jesus, we too should be serious. We understand that there is a lot of evil around us. We understand that eternity has yet to be determined in the lives of many people who cross our paths. We are serious, but we also have great joy. Seriousness and joy are not incompatible. We are joyfully serious. We should never be dull, spiritless, or apathetic. A dull, apathetic Christian is a contradiction in terms. Another particularly important characteristic of a Jesus follower is that we should convey a sense of peace, a heart at rest. A heart at rest during turbulent times is a wonderful thing. On the other hand, what can we say about someone who is not a person of faith? Isaiah wrote, "The wicked are like the tossing sea, which cannot rest, whose waves cast up mire and mud." Isaiah chapter 57, verse 20. Isaiah's description still applies today. Our age is restless. We live in a hurry. We live in a world of tension, which lacks stability. We live in a time of confusion, a time of uncertainty. Our world, just like the world in Isaiah's day, casts up mire and mud. Isaiah used the word wicked in a broad sense to mean those who do not live by faith. In our age, that means those who are not followers of Jesus. Without Jesus, people have no central stability. They are tossed back and forth by the vagaries of life. They are troubled in mind. They are troubled in spirit. There is a restlessness response people have turned to. Usually, that response is an artificial means to get by. Our society lives on drugs, whether it's alcohol or painkillers or any of the medications sold like candy. Lots of people take pills just to be able to sleep at night. We are bombarded with drug commercials that use words like tension, stress, pain. And then the most ubiquitous word we hear on these drug commercials is, you know what I'm going to say, depression. We hear about it nonstop. Minor tranquilizers are a $1 billion industry. And then there are other commercials that push us to buy something that promises to provide more pleasure than you or I could ever imagine. Just buy this car or this gadget and your life will have instant pleasure. This is the state of our society. And people generally aren't able or don't understand how to deal with all the turmoil. Well, it's obvious that we, as followers of Jesus, are not supposed to live the way the world around us lives. Instead, we have a God-given sense of peace. And that sense of peace attracts other people to us. People are more willing to listen when they see an example. They don't listen when all they see is talk. They hear talk all the time. And talk by itself doesn't work. Our lives should show that although we live in the same world, we are subject to the same pressures. Nevertheless, we are essentially different. The big difference is that we have found peace. Regardless of the turmoil around us, we can have a heart at rest. Now, I know there are some people who are stoic. The modern term is phlegmatic. Phlegmatic people don't appear to react as strongly as others do. They seem to be more insensitive to things that happen. They hold on in the midst of trouble and they have a practical sense about them. But the problem with a phlegmatic person is that they have nothing to offer someone else. All they have is a temperament that can bear difficulties better than others. But we, on the other hand, as followers of Jesus, we have a reason for our peace. We have a solution. Our solution is independent of our personalities. We aren't frantically seeking for understanding. And it shows. Do you have an inward peace? If you do, it will inevitably show itself. What we are on the inside always shows itself on the outside. Others see who we are in our faces, in our eyes, in the aura that we carry with us. And you know that's true. You can't analyze it. You just know when someone is real or they're putting on appearances. And when you allow the power of God to transform you, your peace becomes real and it's deep and it overflows. And others will notice. The inward peace and rest that comes with our faith can be a powerful influence on others. We don't have this wonderful peace and rest by nature. No one is born with a sense of peace. But we have been changed. We have been given peace by the grace of God. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives." John 14, verse 27. Our peace comes from God through our faith in the Messiah, Jesus as Lord and Savior, and what he has done for us, he can do for others. It's great that people can see a sense of peace within us. But the question then becomes, what will they see when things aren't going well? Most people, Christian or non-Christian, put on a good face when things are going well. When the sun is shining, when the money is rolling in, but what will people see when everything goes wrong? I know what you're thinking. You're thinking about that neighbor who blows up and starts screaming when things get out of control. We all have neighbors like that, or have had neighbors like that. This question, what will people be like when things aren't going well, was on the mind of Jesus toward the end of his Sermon on the Mount. He spoke a parable about building two houses. One man rushed to build a house without a firm foundation. He finished building his house before the other man even finished his foundation. What a fool, the first man thought. I'm the smart one because I took advantage of all the shortcuts. And then the rain came, and the floods rose, and the house collapsed. This is so typical of the world. The world's ways and ideas collapse when life gets tough. Jesus emphasized this great difference between religion and real faith. About having knowledge in your head or believing in your heart. Men and women of faith, those who follow the way of Jesus, are not easily shaken by what happens. They are not dependent upon circumstances for their happiness and their peace. And this is a fundamental reality, a basic outgrowth of our faith. This is a fundamental reality, a basic outgrowth of our faith. The Old Testament, and especially the New Testament, leave no doubt about this truth. We are delivered from this present evil world. Galatians chapter 1, verse 4. God has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of light, his Son. Colossians 1, verse 3. When Paul said that we are delivered from this present evil world, he didn't mean that we are delivered from its practices, its customs, or its cultures. Rather, he meant that we are delivered from the world's way of thinking, from its outlook, and the world's purpose. We're not dependent upon the world for joy and peace. By contrast, those who are not believers are dependent upon the world. They are dependent upon their surroundings and their circumstances. I don't need to prove this. It's obvious. Why do people spend so much time and money on things like drugs and alcohol or whatever gives them a sense of pleasure? It's because they are dependent on those things. Some people are dependent upon success, others on power. Some people are even dependent upon other people. But what happens when an unexpected change arrives? When circumstances and everything seems to be collapsing and there is nothing to fall back on? If a person does not have an inward reserve of peace, then that person will likely collapse. If a person is kept going by the things outside, when those things are removed from their life collapses. This is one of the greatest differences between a believer and a non-believer. We have an amazing peace within that cannot be overcome no matter what the world thinks or does. The book of Proverbs says, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runs to it and is safe." Proverbs 18, verse 10. Now let me tell you one of the major reasons why there are so many faithless people. When faithless people look at those who claim to follow Jesus, what do they see? When life gets tough, they see minimal difference between themselves and most believers. And so they ask, what's the value of your faith if you believe just like me? What's the value of your faith if it doesn't help you when life gets tough? In the book of Acts, chapter 26, we can read the story of King Agrippa and Queen Bernice as they arrive in Caesarea to pay their respects to the governor named Festus. The Apostle Paul was brought out of prison to stand before them, almost as if it was some form of entertainment. They asked Paul about his faith, and Paul then gave them an account of his conversion. And then Paul turned to King Agrippa, and Paul said, "King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know that you do." Agrippa responded to Paul by saying, "Do you think you can persuade me to become a Christian so quickly?" And then Paul answered, "Whether quickly or not, I pray to God that both you and everyone here in this audience might become the same as I am, except for these chains." Wow. Imagine the scene. Paul was taken out of a prison cell where he had been held for 2 years on false charges. He stood before the rulers of the land and told them, "My prayer is that you would be like me. I wish that you could have the same inward peace that I have and experience the same rest and joy that I have." Here Paul is a man of faith, entirely independent of his circumstances. He has something within him bigger than the universe. It didn't matter to him what others might do to him. His desire was that others would be like him. He wasn't talking about his chains. He wanted his listeners to have the same peace and quiet satisfaction that he had. He wanted them to know the truth that everything that happens to a follower of Jesus ministers to the life given to him or her through our Lord, Messiah Jesus, and the power of God's Holy Spirit. Paul understood the amazing difference between a person of faith and a person of the world. His words in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 7 7 through 11 teach us this difference. Let's read them. We now have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. This makes it clear that our great power is from God, not from ourselves. We are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven by despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. Through suffering, our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus might also be seen in our bodies. Yes, we live under constant danger of death, because we serve Jesus, so that the life of Jesus will be evident in our dying bodies. People of faith are given a portion of God's divine nature. Like Paul, we can become independent of external circumstances. Paul continued by saying that all the bad things that had happened to him were just small matters that would not last very long. He didn't mean that the persecutions would end. He didn't mean that his circumstances would make a turn for the better. He meant that his life was but a moment in eternity. For the follower of Jesus, life in this world lasts for just a moment. Eternity is only a breath away. But for the person of the world, life in this world is everything. And for that person, when physical death comes, as it does for every person, their end is the end of everything. It's the end of an empty life. How sad. But there is nothing sad for the believer who views life in this world as only a moment. Paul said in verse 17, "For our present troubles are small, and we won't last very long. Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever." How can our present troubles produce glory that far outweighs our troubles? Glory that will last forever. Paul gives us the answer in verse 18. "So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone. But the things we cannot see will last forever." The answer is that we don't look at the things that we now see with our eyes. Rather, we look at the unseen. The unseen things that last forever. That's the secret. We look at the unseen things wherever we are and whatever our circumstances may be. We see the unseen things. We see eternity. We see eternity if we occupy a prison cell. We see eternity if we are living in a mansion. Paul continued, chapter 5, verse 1. "For we know that when this earthly tent we live in is taken down, that is, when we die and leave this earthly body, we will have a house in heaven, an eternal body made for us by God himself and not by human hands." Indeed, the more we are persecuted, the more trouble comes our way from the world around us, the more we are driven to realize that we do not belong to this world. We are beyond this world. Where is our home? Our home is with Jesus. We belong to a glory that vastly outweighs any earthly trouble, and that glory will last forever. Paul tells us in Colossians chapter 3, verse 2, to set our affections on things above, not on things of this world. He knew, and we should know very well, that troubles, trials, even persecutions will come. And when they come, and they always do, we may no longer have the physical comfort that this world can offer. But let us never forget that we are immune to what happens around us. When trouble comes, we become even more aware of the spiritual and the eternal destiny God has planned for us. Even if the world kills us, that's okay too, because then we will simply be introduced to the glory of eternity sooner than we had expected. As followers of Jesus, we live lives of purpose. We don't just manage to get through to the next day. Our affections are set on things above. I'm going to close now with a perspective from Paul that should be the perspective of everyone who is a follower of Jesus. Romans chapter 8, verses 35 through 39. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity, or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? As the scriptures say, for your sake we are killed every day. We are being slaughtered like sheep. No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ, who loved us. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love, neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Hallelujah.